Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kahn Report. Wherever you get your podcast, you watch it on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can read my work on ESPN.com. I have all sorts of analysis all weekend. Of course, on Jade Daniels on the first pick, and have analysis after every pick on Friday as well as on Saturday. So go to ESPN.com for that. Have a story up now on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders picking him, of course, with the number two pick overall. And I'm going to get into kind of setting up day two. I did have a podcast reacting to the Daniels pick that was up Thursday night, but I also want to talk a little bit about that pick in a minute because I'm a little bit surprised by the reaction because it doesn't match what I hear from teams in the NFL. That's the funny thing. I think the fans are more upset. And I got a text from a coach, an NFC offensive coach, who was like, I really like Jaden. Great pick. He is so dynamic. Those are the comments I would hear from coaches in the NFL. And yet I just see a lot of people who don't seem to think the kid can play. Like, I'm going to have to trust the word of those in the NFL who do this for a living and get paid. Yes, they make mistakes, but they're the ones getting paid to do this. And some of the coaches that I'm hearing this from, they're pretty damn successful. So that's all I'm going to say. But, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I'm just surprised a little bit by the reaction because the kid can play. Now, whether he's durable or not, I don't know. And, you know, again, like I was telling you over the last week, I do not assume it was between him and Drake May, because I do believe, and I think Adam Schefter also reported that JJ McCarthy was the other guy that they really liked. So, and I know they like Michael Penix too. I think they liked May to a degree. Sure. Of course. But Penix was the guy, if they traded back, probably would have been the guy they would have picked. But they were never going to trade back because they liked Jaden Daniels that much. Anyway, so I'm going to get into that just a little bit about what Adam Peters told us, but let's set up day two for just a little bit. So they have the five picks, two in the second, three in the third. We know what they need. They need a left tackle. We know what they want. They would like a tight end, a defensive end, a cornerback. And then with the other one, whether it's a receiver or maybe another lineman, wherever you go. And personally, I would try to come out of here with two tackles. So you get one who can come in and play and start right now. And then you get another guy that in a year or at some point during the year, if Andrew Wiley isn't doing well or not playing, not helping you, then you can put the other kid at some point in this year. So that's what I would do. We'll see what they will do. Cause I know they brought a host of tackles in with a range, right? Some guys could go in the second round, some in the first round. And then some guys would be fifth, sixth round pick types, guys that you could develop who have the athletic skills that you could develop. So a couple guys, like, you know, some guys they brought in, Chop Robinson, he's gone. Amarius Mims, he's gone. Jordan Morgan, he's gone. So some guys that would be certainly one tackle that would be tempting, I think, is a Roger Rosengarten. I've talked about him. He played right tackle at Washington. Of course, Michael Penix is a lefty. So that was his blind side. He's a guy that teams think can play on the left side. And I think I told you his range, people feel like he can play that because he's got the athleticism, and they felt like his range might be 20 to 60 in that ballpark, but certainly some teams like him in that range. So I could see Washington maybe taking him at 36 or 40. Just pay attention to that. And then I think the other guy, again, tight end, Jared Wiley is a guy to watch. He was in here. I know he's someone I think they like. Theo Johnson, Cade Stover, at some point in these two rounds, one of those guys could be the guy that ends up in Washington, but I think they're definitely ones to watch. If you want to get an edge rusher, they brought in Marshawn Nealand. He's an interesting guy out of Western Michigan. He's still available. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, another guy that they brought in that they like. And I know they brought in a few linebackers. So clearly they would like to get some more help there for the future as well. But I think those are some spots. And Elijah Jones was another corner they brought in. Some of the corners they brought in, they're bigger corners. And so they want to play that press man. So I think that's something to watch maybe in the third round. We'll see. But you got to get that left tackle. You've got to get him in the, with that pick in the second round and find a way to develop him. And then after the, whether it's you get another one or find one after the draft to maybe bolster on the other side as well. So, but I personally would try to get the rookie or get a draft one later in the draft as a right tackle that maybe you can develop for next season, if nothing else. So, but you got to come out of there with that. And they have a chance. We talked before a lot about the chance to get premium impact players or impact players at premium spots. And it's not, you know, that's their important positions, but it's also financially a viable situation, right? It's just better for you if you can get guys that can hit on the rookie deals. And I think they have a chance to do that. So we'll see where they go with that. But anyways, it's a big day for it. And I think to me, again, Rosengarten would be fine there. I think he's a good tackle prospect. And if that's when it ends up there, I think you can do things with your scheme to help with the tackles. I don't think that their issues, the issue last year wasn't, oh, Charles Leno was just horrible. I don't, you know, was he an all pro? No. Was he a pro bowler? No. But I don't look at them and say, boy, if they didn't have him, they'd have been this. There were so many other issues with that group that if you can get a solid left tackle play or get, you know, good left tackle play and you get a dynamic quarterback and a dynamic pass game, you get a better run game, you can start to mitigate some of the issues that we've seen in the past here just through better coaching and scheme, et cetera. Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. Now, let's get back on to Jaden Daniels, because he's still the man of the hour. And we're going to be talking to him at 2:30 today out in Ashburn. Another big press conference, him coming in. And I'll tell you, like, for all the talk about what people thought he thought of this place, the dude looked pretty happy to get drafted here. And, you know, and I can tell you when Adam Peters sat down at the podium after the first round for our press conference, somebody said something about how is somebody doing? He said, well, not as good as me. So the point is, he felt really good about what they got with Daniels. And here's why. He's a guy that they locked on for a while. And I would tell you, like, for a while, they don't fully know, or they weren't telling people, or they weren't finalized on a guy. And I don't think they necessarily were finalized officially, but unofficially, it clearly they were. And you started to hear, like, for me, I heard over the last week, about over the last week, that he was the guy, and that probably if it wasn't him, it would be JJ McCarthy. And, it wasn't until, you know, like you say, okay, for sure you're taking this guy. But even Adam Peters said it would have taken a lot for them to move off of him. And he said they were on him that was their guy for a while. And, you know, it's funny because I know you go back to free agency and there were some moves that were made, like signing Marcus Mariota. And I know some people thought, oh, this is a sign. It's Jaden Daniels. And just to be sure, for you folks, I did check on that. And this, like, I was told, no, that really had nothing to do with it. That was an endorsement by Brian Johnson. Cliff Kingsbury likes him, and they've been very happy with him so far through 3 weeks. So that was the, but that move was unrelated. However, you could probably, you may even go back to that point in time and say that they, at that point in time, they may have already had a strong lean toward Jaden Daniels. And then just getting through the, making sure you get through the process. And this is what I would say, you want to finish the process before you absolutely come to a conclusion. But it was, as he said, it was going to take a lot to get off him because everything they kept hearing about him was very, very good. The intel they got back from talking to coaches who had worked with him at LSU growing up in high school, at Arizona State, they talked to Herm Edwards. They talked to a lot of people. Brandon Ayuk is one of, I was told that was like Daniel's best friend. And, you know, clearly Adam Peters knows Brandon Ayuk too, with the San Francisco ties. So there's a lot of people that they would have talked to throughout this process. And they kept hearing the same thing, which is why they were locked hard on Daniels. And I'll go back to January, because right when he was about to be hired, and I don't think he had been hired yet, I talked to somebody who knew him pretty well. And one of the things this person told me in January was Adam loves Jaden Daniels. So before he came here, now he said tonight that he didn't start looking at the quarterbacks until he got here, but this person was pretty convincing. And it's like, so right in that period where he knew it may be an opportunity, he probably started studying up on some of the quarterbacks too, at least a little bit. And when he started going to watch him, he's like, I think it surprised him how good Daniels looked. So that was one of the first things I heard. And yet, you know, you don't know where it's going to go because, to be honest, somebody else had also told me that they, you know, that Josh Harris had mentioned to them during the season a couple times about Drake May. So for those of you who are worried about Josh Harris's influence, this is back during the season. I have no clue what he thought beyond the season or beyond that, but during the season, that's what they said, that he would mention his name a couple of times. So, you know, and it clearly, but as one thing that Peter said is the building was unanimous on Jaden Daniels. It's not like there was all over the place, but the point is you hear that at that time too. So you're not sure, well, where's it going to go? And then later you start to hear a little bit more about McCarthy. So that's why I say sometimes you're not sure, but for Peters, it was clear. It was always going, it was Daniels. That's why they were not going to trade down. They wanted this kid. And they felt like there was a difference between this kid and the others. And I'll be honest, I go back to what the NFL people told me, and they say the same thing. Like, the, you know, and I know Mark Ross, I had in my article on the ESPN last week, said that the gap between Caleb and Jaden was closer than the gap between Jaden and whoever they thought was the third quarterback. And I heard that from a few people. And you look at, you know, with Jaden and JJ, or excuse me, Drake and JJ, they're going to have to ideally sit for a little bit. I do think that JJ went to a really good place for him in Minnesota. The drop back game, the play action game, it's a good spot for him. And, you know, with Drake May, we'll see how that goes up there. Everything is about the plan you have at the quarterback position. And I think here, I like what they have and what they're setting up. And I think that's going to help any quarterback, but it will help this one too. And I do want to read you a quote that from Adam Peters, because I think it's a good one. And it's, and we, I asked him the first question at the press conference. I just said, hey, why Jaden? And it's not, people get bent out of shape sometimes about questions. It's more like, why did you like Jaden? Why did you want to pick him? So he said, why not Jaden? Jaden, to us, he's special in every way, on the field, off the field. I talked to him a couple of times, and I told him of what I told you guys the other day. I didn't really watch a lot of the quarterbacks hard during the season, being with the 49ers, and then turned on Jaden for the first time here, and I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't believe how good he was. And I saw him on TV. I saw him on highlights and everything. But when you really study him as a quarterback, just as a quarterback, he's really, really good. And the way he can process, the way he can see the field, go through reads, deliver on time, deliver with pressure in his face, take a hit and deliver on third down and move the chains, he's the best deep ball thrower in the draft. And that's before you even start watching him run. So that's pretty telling as to what he thought about him and why they were locked so hard on him, because I mean, that's it. That's why. And what that coach texted me is just, he's dynamic. And that's what you kept hearing throughout the process. And the more you watch, the more you saw it. And yes, there is, you know, he has concerns, or I should say his concerns, but about the size and getting hit. And he even said, listen, if that's your biggest problem, that's not bad. Now, you just got to protect yourself, but it's a lot easier to say, hey, you got to learn how to protect yourself, than it is to say, hey, you got to go run like that guy, or you got to throw a deep ball like that guy. Those things are hard to do. The running is instinctive. The deep ball is just really good ball placement. It's good footwork. It's good everything. So those things are a little bit harder to teach than just saying, hey, throw the ball away here, or hey, get down here. Now, we all know it could only take one hit. And it's funny because I wonder for some of you, if there's some of the RG3, you know, hangover still 12 years later, that's why you're afraid with another dual threat guy, but they're not the same person. They're not the same style. I mean, they both run, but I think Daniels is a better passer than what Robert was coming out. So that will help. And I think then it's a matter of, you know, what style do you want to be? And the one thing that when I talk to people who have worked with him have said is that he wants to become a better passer. So that's the goal. It's not just to be a guy who can run and do this. He really is locked on folk on becoming a better passer. So that's why they have this belief that he's going to get out of some of that, or not have that durability be an issue. But it is the number one, question you had throughout the process is, can he protect himself? Because he is a narrow guy, man. You see him on TV, he's narrow, and we'll get a chance to meet him up close tomorrow or Friday afternoon and see. But that is the big worry, but or concern, I should say, or question, I should say, because don't know yet if it's a worry, because we got to see how he reacts in the NFL with it all. So, like I said, no real trade that was going to be a possibility. And that's it. I'm just rambling. Let's cut it off. Let's get to Friday, get to day two of the draft. Another big day, because again, to me, this is just as big and important a day, because you've got to get these other picks. You've got to come out of this draft with a few starters from these couple rounds on Friday to make this you could have a good draft if Jaden Daniels hits, and that's what you want, but you can have a great draft if one or two of these guys hits too. And it's something that this franchise has done a poor job of in recent decades, is hitting on these high picks consistently. This is a way for this regime to show that they can be different here. So can tell you, man, I think they're pretty happy here. And I think Adam Peters was very happy. And I think, you know, if you like the hire of Adam Peters, then I think for now you're going to have to trust that his process is the right one. Time eventually will tell. Anyway, that's it for me. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back probably later Friday, something else. I don't know, folks, but I'll be back either Friday night or Saturday morning with the wrap up. I'll do a wrap up for Saturday morning of day two. And then we'll get a wrap up after the draft as well. So I'll talk to you next time.